Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the International Mastermind Blog Talk Show, radio show. My name is Sharon Jackson. I'll be your guest host along with the Palm Beach Life Planners. Palm Beach Life Planners. I'm here in our virtual studio with some of my mastermind partners, Stephanie Banks, Betty Knighton, Laura Greer, and McNeil. Unfortunately, Doretha Dennis and Mariama Williams will not be with us today. We have businesses, we operate nonprofit organizations and other such things. And unfortunately, Mariama is in Switzerland and will not be able to be with us today. And Doretha is operating her big business. Well, this is our second week discussing the epilogue of Think and Grow Rich, How to Outwit the Sixth Ghost of Fear. We are so excited and energized this Saturday morning to be on the air with you. So I invite you to call, text, or email a family member or a friend and tell them that we are on the air right now. They can join us by internet by logging in on www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders or by calling in by phone at 661-554-9219. If you want to communicate with us while we're talking, you can also join us in the chat room or you can log on through our Facebook account. Make a comment and let us know that you're listening. And post your questions or comments there as well. We will address them as we can. Today, we will continue to discuss the fear of poverty and criticism. Before we get started, let's take a short commercial break that discusses the International Mastermind.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account. The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, "Education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money," end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Good morning again. As I mentioned earlier, we will be continuing to discuss The Epilogue of Think and Grow Rich, which talks about how to outwit the sixth ghost of fear. Last week, Stephanie was our primary host, and she started us off on discussing the sixth fears and started down the road of poverty. Stephanie, could you take time this morning to give us a short recap of last week?
Yes, hi, good morning, Sharon. And good morning to my fellow Palm Beach Life panelers and everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio Land. Napoleon Hill, the epilogue, The Six Ghosts of Fear and How to Help with Them, he deals with poverty. He feels that poverty is one of the most destructive fear that we can have. It can keep us actually in poverty in itself, not only poverty of riches in terms of material riches, but in poverty of the mind, of the spirit, of the heart, of the soul. And all those things combined together can keep us in kind of an enslavement, if you will. It enslaves us, you know, and we want to free ourselves from that enslavement. And in order to outwit that, the most thing that we need to do is have a strong, very strong desire. As he discussed in his first chapter in the book, desire is the key to outwitting any fear. Because with your desire, you can overcome most anything, but it has to be so strong and so powerful that the mind cannot fathom anything else.
Thank you. You know what, Stephanie? When we come back, I mean, there is going to be a time that I'm going to come back because I want you to tell your story. When you speak from the depths of your soul about desire, and that is based on your life and your desires and how you overcame. So I would like to call upon you. I know that you have a lot to do, but I'd like for you to call back and talk to us about your story. But for now, on page 242, the book says that there can be no compromise between poverty and riches. The road that leads to poverty and riches travel in opposite directions. They are not parallel. They are opposite. One goes north, one goes south. One goes east, one goes west. But what's funny about this is that one may travel in opposite directions toward poverty and riches, but you use many of the same foundational methods to get you there. Is there any one of the Palm Beach Life Planners that could come on and give some more instruction as to how you overcome poverty and you create a money, or not necessarily money, but wealth consciousness?
Sharon, good morning. This is Betty. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Glad to hear you.
Listen, in the introduction, Napoleon Hill mentioned that thoughts are things, and this is very important because that's how we control a lot of this. We have to be able to control our state of mind. People have a very narrow view of poverty and riches, and they think it's just the lack of money or a lot of money. But it's really more than that. Poverty and riches are actually related to not only financial but spiritual, mental health, and whatever you can think of, because you can be spiritually destitute or mentally destitute, or your health could be so bad. So it's not just about money. We have what we think on, what we read, and what we speak out of our mouth. That's why in Mastermind we focus on reading positive materials that will feed our mind, because if there's a vacuum there, something negative is going to slip in. Somewhere in some book it says our eyes, ears, mouth, and ears are gates to our state of mind. That's true. And what we let in and speak out builds up our state of mind. It doesn't discriminate. We can build a poverty mentality or we can build a wealth mentality. It's all about our state of mind. And on that same page, it says that a state of mind is something that one assumes. It can't be purchased. We can't buy it. It must be created. Thank you.
Betty, before you go, can you tell us, you created a state of mind, and you've talked about this. You want to give us a personal note as to what you did to create that?
Well, first of all, it started out with the reading, because sometimes we could focus on circumstances, but we have to get away from focusing on circumstances. I was born on the edge of a bean field in a migrant camp, but had I allowed just that to be a part of my life and think that, well, I can't be anything but a migrant baby or a bean field baby, I had to change my thoughts with my reading. And one of the books I ran into 40 years ago was Think and Grow Rich. I read it then, and then I had to revisit it. But along with that, there are all kinds of positive books that we can read to actually change our mind state. We actually have to feed our mind. Just like we feed our bodies, we have to feed our mind with positive images, and that will really change the way we think. So our reading material and who we associate with, if you surround yourself with negative people, you're going to take on those negative attitudes. So be careful of the company you keep and the books you read.
Talking about books.
Amen,
you
Betty. Amen. I'm Stephanie chiming in. Sorry, Sharon. Our inevitable founder, Ms. Ann McNeil, is online and would like to make a comment, Sharon.
Let's go.
Yes. Good morning. This is Ann McNeil, the Master Builder, Building Stronger and Better Lives. And I really wanted to comment on something that Stephanie said. And basically what she said was that you have to get control of your fear. And I that just resonated with me, because very often we expect someone else to do it for us. And then we began to live a life of a wish, a woulda, coulda, shoulda, and a didn't, because I was depending upon somebody else. Doesn't matter if it was the government or my boss or my husband or my wife, my child, my grandparents. You know, they didn't do me right. I was born in poverty, you know, and I'm going to die in poverty. No, you've got to get control over your own mind. And I think for myself as a personal testimony, my life did not change in terms of becoming well, conscious, if you will, from Thinking Grow Rich until I realized that I had to get control of my own mind and deal with my own ghost of fear, if you will. And so I just wanted to just make that comment as we continue to move forward, because when Stephanie said that, it just so resonated with me that I just wanted to just share that. Thank you, and I'm going to go back on mute.
That was a great comment, Ann. Thank you. And you know what? You made me start thinking, and I needed to make this comment. Everyone knows that for the last 4 years, I have had, for the first time in my life, contact with younger people, you know, middle school age youth. And what absolutely makes a difference in a child at that age are their parents creating that foundation of success consciousness. You can watch little kids that know the answer. You know they know the answer, but they're afraid to put their hand up because they might be wrong. Other kids, man, they're just beaming with pride. They raise their hand wrong half the time. But the point is, there's no fear. Their parents told them they could do it. So they create that foundation. And later on, yeah, they take it on. And as they grow older, they take on that personal path to move forward to success consciousness, to wealth consciousness. It's a great thing. Thank you, Ann. I really, really, really appreciate that. That was a good comment. Betty told us that it all relates to the state of mind. That's not something you can buy. That's what Ann was telling us about. It's something that must be created. It has to be created. We discuss creating wealth consciousness, and this goes back to page 29. Now, this is the thing that's very important. The epilogue, where we are towards the end of the book, is based on everyone having read the whole book and putting into place everything that has been discussed up to this point. So on page 29, it's in the chapter of desire. And they talk about desire again in page 241. So on page 29, it says, only those who become money consciousness or wealth consciousness ever accumulate great wishes. Now remember, Betty's already told us, riches doesn't necessarily mean money. Riches are wealth. Riches are your state of mind. It is your family life. It is everything that she's talked about. It's your spiritual. It's your mental. It's everything that you can think of. So you can accumulate all those riches. Money consciousness means that the mind has become so thoroughly saturated with the desire. And again, I mentioned that Stephanie always refers to desire in caps. For money that one can see oneself already in possession of. Not only are these steps essential for the accumulation of money, but necessary for the attainment of any goal. And that goes back to what Betty said, what Stephanie said, what Anne has said. It's toward any goal. It's what you read. It's what you think. It's what you speak. All of these openings to our head are gates. That's why you have to be very protective of what comes into our eye gate, what comes into our ear gate, and what comes out of our mouth gate. It's very important because Anne talks about all the time speaking into the atmosphere. Anne will say something and then call me back 2 or 3 days later laughing and said, you know, Sharon, I said this and you heard me say it, and it came true. Someone just called me. This came through. But it's not because. It's because she concentrates on it. She meditates. She gets up in the morning. It's not just she, but, you know, there are many mature international masterminds. The first thing they do in the morning is meditate. What comes into their eye gate first thing in the morning? What comes into their ear gate first thing in the morning? What do they speak first thing in the morning? Now, I know that Betty and Anne and Stephanie and Laura are all people that meditate in the morning. Can one of you come back on the line or speak about your meditation time?
Hey, hi, Sharon and Steph. You know, I'm not as consistent as I should be, but I do it. You have to set aside a certain time in the morning or evening, whichever you choose, and just set your mind on the things you want to accomplish, not whether it's for that day or for that week or for that month or for that year. Know what it is you want and just pray about it and meditate on it. And sometimes, even though you don't know the way to go about accomplishing it, if you keep that mindset, keep it at the front of your mind when you're praying and you're meditating, the answers will come to you. Just like you said, Anne will call you back a couple of days later and say, oh my gosh, I wanted this and I thought about this and I was thinking about it and it actually came through. You'll be surprised at the amount of time that will happen if you are so focused on getting something that's important to you and you keep it at the front of your mind. So that's my thought. You just have to set aside. It doesn't have to be an hour. It doesn't have to be 10 hours. If it's even just 5 minutes, a lot of us have lived very, very busy lives. Our days start early in the morning and end very late. But even if it's just 5 minutes of quiet time to say, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for getting me that job. I know that job is coming. I know that job or that company, specifically what company it is that you want or whatever it is that you're looking for or needing or requiring or asking of the Lord. Just take that moment in time every day to focus on it and give the Lord thanks for it before it even appears in your realm. And before you know it, it will be there.
Stephanie, I see that Laura has her hand up, but before we go to Laura, could you please tell us your story, how you meditated into the dream of your life?
Well, you know, we talk about being poor and poverty, and Betty talked about it growing up, being born on a bean field and being able to stay there. I grew up poor, and there's a difference between poor and poverty. Poverty is a mindset of lack, and I never had that sense of lack. It was never there. I mean, we always had more than enough to eat, but, I mean, I wasn't, we didn't have running water, we didn't have television, we didn't have a lot of things that people consider now essential for their lives. But I did have one of the things, we go to the airport to pick up my mom when she'd come in, and that was a big thing for us. You know, getting to go to the airport was a big adventure. And every time I'd go there, I would, or every time I'd see an airplane, and I back then, I didn't know what masterminding was. I just know that every time I'd see an airplane go overhead, I would say, one of these days, I'm going to be on that plane going wherever it's going. And I just, that was my dream. I don't care where it's going, I'm going to be on that airplane. I was maybe 10. I don't care where it's going, I'm going to, one of these days, I'm going to be on that airplane. And wherever it's going, I'm going to go there. I'm going to see the world. I'm going to, this is a big world out there, and I want to see it. I want to be on that airplane so bad I could see it, I could feel it, I could taste it. I don't care where it was going. I don't care where in the world it was going. I wanted to be on that airplane so bad, and that was my goal. That was my only entire focus as a child growing up. I wanted to be on an airplane going wherever it was going, and that is what I do today. Today, I was just in Brazil. The day before that, I was in India. Before that, I was in China. I am living that dream.
And not only are you living the dream, you're creating the second part of your dream. You want to talk to us about that for a second?
Well, you know, I also have a travel company where I can help you guys live your dream. You know, not everybody has to work for the airlines or be a part of the airlines. You can live your dream of travel if that's what you want to do. And someone like myself can help you get there.
Thank you. Good comments. Thank you very much. Now, can we go to Laura?
Certainly. Laura. How? Laura, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. Hi. Good morning. Yes, in regards to the comment about meditation and early in the morning, with me, the importance of early in the morning is that quietness. Even though I don't have children and I don't have anyone, I'm not married, so I don't have anyone to interfere with me, but when you're out and about during the day in the hustling and the bustling, doing what you need to do to make it happen, but at night, it's so important because it's between you and God. Your mind is clear, and you can quieten your spirit. And when I read the Bible, it's so awesome that the miracles that God worked in the lives of his people who were going through, who were suffering things, who the enemy was really trying to control, trying to get the victory over. And God would send an angel. And it always happened like in the hours between 12 midnight, 1, 3 a.m. Those are the battle hours where the spirit releases and releases that victory in your life. So in that meditation time, it's that oneness, that it's that intimacy spiritually that takes place between the person and the Father. And he was talking about how you think a thing and then there it has you've spoken it into existence. But yet, you know what, those are seeds that's planted over time. And that's something I've been thinking about lately, and I see how things are happening for me in my life. I say, you know what? I see the seeds, I see the harvest coming up. And I think about the word in Colossians chapter 3 where it says, set your affections on things above and not on the things of this earth. And I think about in Matthew chapter 6, 33, where it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and send all the other things that the world is seeking after will be given unto you. So when you have that mindset, when you have that spiritual relationship, it releases the will into your life. And things don't always happen right away, but the fact is, during that meditation time, what are you doing? You're planting seeds. And then what? A crop doesn't grow overnight, but you nourish it. And in that meditation, that's what we're doing. That's what you do. So no matter what age you are, and sometimes people say, well, wow, they've accomplished this and they've accomplished that, and I've waited and this hasn't happened for me. But don't give up. Keep doing. Keep planning.
Laura, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break, but before we go, could you please tell us how you meditated yourself into living your life dream right now?
How I meditated myself. You know, how it wasn't so much as meditating myself into it. I think it was more of associating myself with people who had what I desired to have. And then came the meditation, thinking about it and sitting listening to them, reading about people that accomplish it. And my friend and I, we used to always watch Lifestyle of the Rich and Famous. The show, it used to come on every Saturday. And we watched that show. And we listened. And that's how, that was some of the seeds that led me to where I am today.
Laura, I misspoke. I really wanted for you to talk to us about your business.
Okay. Okay, well, you can go to commercial. We can talk about that afterwards.
Okay, thank you. Steph, can you take us on?
All right. Thank you.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
We're back on the air with Sharon Jackson.
Thank you. Laura, are you going to continue? I'm sorry, I misspoke, but I really meant for you to talk to us about you have progressed in these last 4 years, and you have begun to operate in the business that exhibits a lot of your talents, and it allows you to bless other people while making money. Can you talk to us about that for a second?
Sure, most definitely, yes. One thing about me, I've always been a person, I love to give. You know, I'm a server. I love to help people. And that's a gift that God gave me. And growing up in New York, and then when I came to Florida and was in the insurance industry as a claims adjuster and having a litigation specialist, and going in the courtroom, helping resolve lawsuits, personal injury. And it dawned on me that, you know what, that I'm always giving, but why not do something that you can also make money at it? So I launched out on my own and started a business in my home. And then later on, I started my business where I began helping people learn how, especially people in certain age groups, because, you know, in this day and time with the healthcare industry, everything that's going on. And so God has blessed me that I have a business where I have educated myself about the health industry. So I help people in regards to knowing what to invest in when it comes to health insurance, like Medicare supplements, long-term care, disability insurance. And by doing that, then they tell other people in regards to about that, what I do, And now so many people are simply coming to me by way of referral because the information is just so huge that people don't have time to read, or if they read, they don't understand it. So that is what I do as a in a business for myself, but not by myself, helping other people navigate through the things that they need in their health, in their life insurance areas, in annuities, bringing them to a place so that they, too, can live the kind of dream that they want to live. And, you know, it's very detailed, but just to kind of give you, hopefully that helped to answer your question. When someone asks about this, it becomes very involved. And so you don't want to overstep any boundaries in talking about that, what I do. But on Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night, Rufus and myself, we're going to be on Blog Talk from 8 to 8:30, and we're going to talk more in depth about this. And our show, what we do is Sell to Success. So I'm asking those of you who are listening now to tell your friends and tell your neighbors about Sell to Success. That will be on Blog Talk on this Wednesday from 8 to 8:30, and you can hear more of my story.
Thank you. That was very good. What's important about that is we talked about the six basic fears of poverty, criticism, ill health, loss of love, fear of old age, and fear of death, and those are some of the points that Laura just hit on, and we will talk about later. But for now, we're going to continue on with the fear of poverty. On pages 242 and 243, it talks about the fear of poverty again. And it says, without a doubt, fear of poverty is the most destructive of the six basic fears. The fear of poverty paralyzes the faculty of reason. It destroys the faculty of imagination. It kills self-reliance and undermines enthusiasm, discourages initiative, leads to uncertainty of poverty, the purpose, encourages procrastination, and on and on and on. And because of this, because you get so distracted by all these things, you can't get what Laura is talking about in terms of connection to the eternal that brings your thought down. You can't get that clear channel that Stephanie was talking about of ideas and riches and wealthy ideas and witty inventions that can come to you because you're confused. It's like being on the radio. If anybody listens to the radio anymore, you have to be on the right channel to hear. But if you are distracted by fear, you can't get on the right channel. Your ear gate can't open up to hear the right things. Your eye gate can't settle down to read the right things. So you starve your mind. Stephanie, I see that Anne's hand is up. Can we listen to Anne make a comment?
Certainly. And Ms. Anne McNeil, the Master Builder, go ahead.
Yes, and I hope I'm in order here, but one of my favorite people in the entire world, the prodigal son, is listening to us this morning, and he texted me to just give kudos to Stephanie on the comments that she was making about her life and how much he related to that and really appreciated that, and so I just wanted to let the listening audience know that the prodigal is listening. And I wanted to make a comment about Sharon's saying about being on the right station on the radio. And I just want to really send kudos out to all our listeners, and especially those people who download this show later on. Just want to let you know you are listening to the right show. You are listening to the right radio show today and every day that we're on the air sharing the thoughts of taking our poverty mindset that we're born with, actually, and bringing it into a prosperity consciousness that we are responsible for growing. So I just wanted to just make those comments, Sharon. I'm really enjoying the show. Thank you.
Thank you. You know what? I see Rolf is on, and I'm not sure why he hadn't raised his hand. I was kind of hoping he would. And the reason why is because Rufus is in the school system, and he knows. I mean, a lot of times we think about fear as adults, but that old creature of fear is reaching down to the youth. And the thing that is, it is so important, is that they need support to understand who they are, what their purpose in life is, and tell the story And I know she's trying to drive and listen and participate at the same time. But we all have purposes in life. Every one of us are unique individuals, and we are designed for a specific purpose. If you don't fulfill your purpose in life, it goes undone. And that's the reason why you open up those gates to the eternal, for him to download, who you are and where you're supposed to go. There are humans and spiritual beings that are designed to keep you on the path, to give you guidance, and make sure that you come to the end to fulfill your purpose. There's no one else that can do it other than you.
Sharon?
See.
I see that Rufus had his hands raised, but before we chime in to Rufus, I just want to read a passage in the book on chapter 2, on page 260, if I may.
Sure.
It's called Old Man Worry, and it's on page 260. Worry is a state of mind based upon fear. It works slowly but persistently. It is insidious and subtle. Step by step, it digs itself in until it paralyzes one reasoning faculty and destroys self-confidence and initiative. Worry is a form of sustained fear caused by indecision. Therefore, it is a state of mind which can be controlled. So when we're all talking about poverty and criticism and all the things that go with it, this is the base at which everything is focused on: worry. Worry creates that fear, the fear of poverty, the fear of criticism, the fear of ill health, the fear of... It is a foundation. And if we can, there's no way to get rid of worry, but there is a way to corral it, to control it. And that is what this book is trying to show us, how we can do that, how we can control and corral that worry that is the foundation of our fears. So,
thank you,
as I read that, let me know, I don't know, Sharon, you ready for Rufus, or you have some other comment you want to make?
Well, I wanted to make a comment because Okay. Everything that you brought up memories. It brought up memories, and I wanted to share them real fast. And you know, we haven't done our commercial. When I was young, Mom and Dad, who were prodigies of the Great Depression, always used to use fear. It says, if you don't go to school, you're going to be like that guy out on the street. And they'd always point to this old man that we used to call old Mr. King Cole. I had no place to live. And, you know, so that stayed in my mind. Then I go on to work. I go to school, get my degree, and then come up on people in the place, in the job place, that ruled by fear. And once I found out that I had a fear mentality, every time it came up, quoted a scripture. Every time I came up, I had to quote a positive message and combat it. That's the reason why when you said you can't get rid of it necessarily, but you can corral it. Until one day I was walking around and someone tried to use that old thing and trying to make me feel fear. Feel as if I was not up to par, I said, oh my gosh, fear didn't come out. The first thing that came out was either a scripture
are, quote. And it's not hard. It's just what Betty said earlier. You must be consistent to be able to beat that thing back into its corner. All right. Thank you, Rufus. Are you going to come on and give us words of your great wisdom?
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, how you doing?
Great.
Hey, how are you? Z Rufus Curry Jr., the only one you'll ever meet. Hey, you know, I'm sitting here listening, as always. It gives me a great opportunity on a Saturday morning while I'm out taking in my exercise constitution to listen in to the Mastermind Show. So I'm building my mind, my future, and my body at the same time. So, you know, folks are looking at me as I ride my bike and saying, is this dude crazy? But really, I'm not. But, you know, I was listening to the comments of Sharon and Stephanie you guys were making. And when Stephanie was talking about her dreams of traveling the world and essentially planting that seed. And you talk about the time that it takes for the seed to germinate and come to fruition and produce corn or wheat. And Sharon, when you're talking about that fear factor, it's something that is accepted in modern culture because we talk about bullying is the new control mechanism, and, you know, and we yield to that fear. You look in the scripture where Christ says, you know, talk about worry. What are you worrying for? You know what I mean? I mean, it's because it's not going to do anything. It's not going to profit anything. It's not going to fix anything. So we do that. And the reason that you said, Sharon, is when the individual tried to bully you or tried to inject you with fear, and the scriptures came out. See, the reason that you were able to make it past that is because to be forewarned is to be forearmed. And you were forearmed, and you were ready for the onslaught of the negative force trying to basically take you out. And you were able to take care of yourself and move on and live to fight another day. So, you know, that's the thing. You know, I work in an environment. We talk about, we look at children, you know, it was a reference to me teaching the school system. I'm a career soldier in the United States Army, and I'm a high school teacher. And when I've seen fear on both sides of the canyon, and I talk to children who have access to everything, every opportunity, all the information. You know, remember how we used to get on to get a set of encyclopedias, those of us who were lucky enough to have them at home, and you would read the encyclopedias one year and you'd read the encyclopedia the next year and the information was bad, it was gone. But that was our internet back then. Now you have these children who have all of these things, and there's no drive, there's no motivation, there's no inspiration for the vast majority of them. And, you know, we tend to look at them and say, you know, these kids are wasting their time. Hey, they're only children. You know what I mean? They're products of parents. Remember how you said, how your mom said and your dad said, hey, you don't go to school, you don't get education, you're going to be this, this, and this. And they brought a body of knowledge, wisdom, and experience to it. But now, mind you, the parents that you had are probably two times as old as the parents that I'm dealing with when these kids are in high school. So it's a different animal. But, you know, like I tell people all the time, when we speak in terms of fear, I understand fear. I've jumped out of an airplane before, and it's unnatural for a man to fly at 2,000 feet, open the door on an airplane, and walk out the door. I've done that. But if you allow fear to control you in a stressful situation, you will die. If you're in a job that you don't like, if you're working for someone that is abusing you, or if you're in an abusive relationship, or you're in a bad situation, what's wrong with trying to move in another direction? Because if need be, you can come back to the bad that you presently know, but at least try to see if there's some good out there, and you might find some bad that's better than the bad that you're presently in. But if you don't move, you don't know.
Thank you, Rufus. You know what, Stephanie, he brings up a point that I would like to move on to, but can we go to our next commercial and then come back and follow up?
Sure. Thank you, Sharon. Will do, but I just want to make this point. Like Rupert said, if you don't move, don't know. All right, our next commercial.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
All right, we're back.
Okay. You know what? I mentioned that I am a prodigy of parents that came from the Depression. I think all of you all are way younger than I am, so I don't know if you have parents that came through that. But you know what the deal is this. I look back at what they did, and they talked about, because of poverty, they hoarded. They hoarded money. They hoarded food. They did all this stuff. And they talked about fear of not having enough, not taking chances because of what they might lose. There were some that said, I ain't got nothing, so I got nothing to lose, so what the heck. And they went out. And they started businesses, and they moved, just like what Rufus just said and what Stephanie just said. They moved. They moved out of the place that they were. And some of them, many of them, most of them created lives of wealth, regardless of what the wealth was, regardless of it was wealth of money, regardless of whether it was peace and soundness of mind and getting rid of that old, you know, scared to move forward. But they said, what the heck? I have nothing to lose, and they move forward. Now, the other part of this is this. For those people that didn't gain the wealth consciousness, they moved out, but they didn't do all the, create the foundations needed to create that wealth consciousness and therefore wealth or whatever it is. People like my parents used that and criticized them and said, look, that guy did all that stuff and fell flat. And they used it as criticism. The next fear that we wanted to talk about is fear of criticism.
Sharon, sorry, before we move on to share criticism, can I just say this? When you were talking about moving or not moving, and Rufus, you know, my third favorite book in the world is Who Moved My Cheese behind the Bible and Think and Grow Rich. It's a small book written by Spencer Johnson, M.D. It's called Who Moved My Cheese. It's a little analogy about three rats who were found a hoard of cheese, and they stayed there and ate it until it was almost gone, and two of them stayed there and almost starved to death, while the third one moved on looking, and they were so fearful of moving. Who Moved My Cheese is my third favorite book in the world, so if you get a chance, buy it, read it, download it. It's a great book called by Spencer Johnson.
Absolutely. You know what? When I joined Mastermind, that was a book that you gave me to read. So absolutely. It is packed full, small book, just like you said, but it's packed full of wisdom. But, you know, it also goes into, you know, the other part of fear of criticism. Because some of those little guys criticized the one that moved on.
Mm-hmm.
People
yep,
that
treated.
Yep, they criticized him. And so you know, now what happens? You know, the other people used to sit on their front porch or talk on the phone, and they used to criticize. Now people operating in criticism, this whole thing has run out of control, largely due to social media, largely due to all the things that when Rufus said these kids and adults have access to everything that we can even think of. You make a mistake, it is all over the world.
in the afternoon.
Yeah, it sure is.
On page 249, it says that fear robs people. It robs people of their dreams. It robs people of their personality. It just robs them and makes them stand still. And it's beginning to, I mean, it fears, I mean, you can see it freezes adults, but it's getting to filter down to the younger people. Schools are now having to, and I'd like Rufus, if he's still there listening, to come back on. If we have 10 minutes.
Actually, we have Dr. Betty and our immediate founder, Miss Ann, who would also like to join the conversation. So why not chime Dr. Betty in, and then we can, if we can get you back to Rufus, we'd love to. Okay,
okay,
Dr. Betty, you're on the air.
Okay, I just wanted to mention, Stephanie mentioned her third favorite book, Who Moved My Cheese. That book helped me to make a decision I had been pondering for months. I read that book on the train on the way from a vacation in Savannah. And after I read that book, the very next day I called a business broker and put my janitorial company up for sale. I had been pondering for months, but just reading that book, Who Moved My Cheese, you have to be decisive. You have to make a decision, and it has to be the right decision, because if you don't make a decision, life is just going to run you over. So I just wanted to mention that after Stephanie mentioned Who Moved My Cheese. It's a great book.
Wait a minute,
right,
babe. Before you go, did you tell us where your dream, where that book took you to? Not only did you sell your business, what did you start?
Well, I've sold my business, and books have always been a love of mine. And I never knew as a young girl where it would lead me, because that's what I would do all day long if I could get my hands on a book. But it eventually led to writing books and workbooks and starting a publishing company to help other people realize their dream of writing a book.
Thank you, Betty. I appreciate that.
All righty. Our master builder, Miss Ann McNeil, you're on the air.
You know, since we're talking about books, this must be, you know, a very interesting phenomenon, actually, for me. I'm just thinking about going back to the children and wanted to encourage all of us, in addition to Who Moved My Cheese, which is also one of my favorites, to also consider reading The Jewish Phenomenon. And we talked earlier, Sharon was talking earlier about the kids and the mindset of poverty. On page 165 in the book, Think and Grow Rich, it says that poverty is attracted to the one whose mind is favorable to it, as money is attracted to the one whose mind is deliberately prepared to attract it. And through the same laws, poverty consciousness will voluntarily seize the mind which is not occupied with money consciousness. A poverty consciousness develops without conscious application of habits favorable to it. The money consciousness must be created to order unless one is born with such consciousness. And in the book, The Jewish Phenomenon, it talks about how Jewish moms prepare their children at a very, very early age for prosperity consciousness, if you will. But going back to a comment Sharon made in a very early conversation on this show and also last week's show, when she talked about kids who speak up versus kids who don't speak up, and one of the points that was made in The Jewish Phenomenon, it talks about how Jewish children at home are taught to debate at a very early age and speak up and speak out. So I just wanted to just chime in and just share those two points, because you know, this subject is so awesome that we really don't deal with it very much and then create action steps on how we're going to overcome it, which is one of the activities we do. And I want to really thank all of you Palm Beach Life Planners, because you've been a very, very strong inspiration in my life, and especially our meetings on Mondays, where we go through these steps in terms of dealing with our own personal ghost of fear. Thank you.
Yes, and as Anne said, the children are the building blocks of our future, and we have to start training them from now to be of a not a poverty mindset, not a fear mindset, but a mentality of riches mindset. All right, back to you, Ms. Sharon.
We have 5 minutes, so it's time to start winding down. So I'd like to make a couple of comments about the fear of criticism, and maybe we can spend a few minutes next Saturday finalizing criticism and then going on to fear of ill health. The last comment that I like to make is that I already said it's filtering down to our youth, and that schools are now having to spend more time, Rufus just talked about it, about bullying. They're monitoring not only the halls of the school, trying to catch kids that are, you know, skipping class or texting when they're supposed to be heading to the restroom, or, you know, whatever, that they're starting to have to monitor the social media sites because of kids criticizing on the media sites, of kids doing all these things. Now they got Facebook, they have Instagram, they have all these different things, and they do the same thing. I'm in a school, and the school nurse, I mean, the nurse was packed with kids. I said, what are all these kids doing in here? She said, Sharon, their stomachs are wound up. There's a fear of who's going to who's on. What tight jeans, painted on jeans, do they have? You know, what is the outfit? You wore that outfit 2 days ago. What's this about? You know, what's the best color? Should I do my hair now? Gosh, I got an F. What am I going to do? Kids sick in school. Kids won't even go to the bathroom because they're afraid of someone teasing them. So they hold it in until they get home. So it's very important as we talk about molding our children, just like Stephanie, just like Ann, just like Betty, and just like Laura has said during this hour. They're stepping stones. The apple does not fall far from the tree, and however you educate them when they're little, they won't fall from it. It is easier bend a twig than it is to try and bend a branch. So it's very important to start it early. They hear before you know it, and they understand. And as soon as whatever you teach them, that's the way they're going to go. Alrighty.
We have a brief comment from Ravona before we go. Ravona, go ahead, make your comment brief. We only have about 2 minutes. Thank you.
Okay, good morning, Ravona.
Good morning.
From Atlanta, Georgia. Just quickly want to say it is just so, so refreshing to just hear the positive comments and to just hear educated people on the radio on a Saturday morning. And I would like to simply thank that phenomenal woman, none other than the queen of mastermind herself, Ann McNeil, who invited me to join this morning. And I certainly appreciate being here. And the comments that you're making are absolutely so true, because I think that so many of us, we go through the process of worrying and we're fearing and all of those things. And I know that fear can certainly rob us of our dreams and our joy, and that sometimes, even though you may feel that way, you just don't know what to do. So let me just say thank you for the positive insight, for the knowledge, and everything else you guys are sharing, because it means so, so much to so many people that you may not even realize that you're reaching. So I appreciate being here this morning with you. And again, I'd like to reach out and thank Ann McNeil for just sharing this meeting with me, the blog talk with me this morning. Again, thank you so much. And keep on doing the great work that you guys are doing.
Thank you, Ravona. All right, back to you, Sharon.
With that, we're going to need to close the show. We want to thank all of our listeners, all the persons that raised their hand and brought in comments. We will continue with Blog Talk Radio next Saturday morning, continue our discussion with Think and Grow Rich, and we will wrap up Fear of Criticism, and we'll move on to the next fear. Thank you very much. We enjoyed you all.